Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and welcome back to the second hour of Tip Today. I was speaking to Councillor John Fitzgerald there in the first hour of the programme. Some reaction to that. Fran, would John Fitzgerald of Fine Gael please wake up? Our youth are leaving because of our housing, health, immigration and the cost of living crisis, all after 12 years of Fine Gael in government, says George, who is in Nina today. Well, I disagreed with John because his take was that people were taking the opportunity to go travelling, and while I agree there's an element of that to it, as I know myself, you know, a lot of young people are deciding to go because they don't see a future in terms of being homeowners and the like. So certainly we would disagree with John where that is concerned. Anne said, good to hear some positivity and hope in your interview with John Fitzgerald. I'm getting tired lately of listening to so many people who moan to you about everything and cynical about everything. More of this spring optimism, please, says our Anne today. Councillor Davy Dunn was on to us. Davy, of course, based in Carrick and Shore, Sinn Féin councillor there. He says, what core beliefs have Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil? They have not delivered on housing, health, education and also failed on law and order. We don't need a change in Taoiseach. We need a general election and a change of government. And Michael was on to us as well, and he's congratulating Councillor John Fitzgerald on his work in Clonmel and in Clarahan as well. And just a final one for now. Tom is in Mulcarkey, and he says, no matter what our opinions are on the choice of a new Taoiseach, I do think stability of government is most important, as we have local and European elections shortly. Last thing we need is a general election. The people can monitor the government's performance over the next year. And remember, the people of Ireland will decide who is voted in wisely, I do hope, next year, says a very optimistic Tom in Mulcarkey today. Speaking of which, it just reminded me, there's rumblings that I'm hearing. We hear a lot of rumblings on this program. But there's rumblings going on out there from certain politicians during certain meetings and stuff that the program is seen to be anti-government. And my answer to that is that we reflect what we're hearing in here from our listeners. And if those listeners are coming on here and they're expressing opinions that appear to be anti-government, well, that's their right to do so. Now, in as much as I can, I provide some balance where that is concerned. And we have people like John and we have others on as well who will bat for the government. And last week we had people on telling us that Leo Varadkar did a wonderful job, and we had some people coming on to say he was absolutely dreadful. But to those out there who are making those rumbling noises, I would say we are reflecting what the people of Tipperary are thinking, and it might be better in your interest to have a listen to what those people are saying.
Financial advice with FOH Financial Limited. Tried, trusted and experienced advice. See foh.ie. FOH Financial Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
And Frances O'Hanlon is with me in studio. Morning, Frances.
Hi, Fran.
How are you today?
I'm great, you?
You said you with a little smile. I'm grand now, Frances. I find now that I've gotten all of that off my chest.
Good, that's good to do too.
You're going to answer some questions to begin with, Frances. Mm. So we'll kick off. I was a carer for my mother for 15 years. I have a part-time job. I was doing 2.5 hours over a week. They cut me off last August, and I have to pay back nearly €9,000. I cut back my hours to 18 and a half hours, and they're still not giving it back to me. I'm on the breadline now because I still have to look after Mum, and I need to work. I'm only a cleaner, so I'm not earning loads of money. Please don't say my name on air, but I think this is very unfair. Can you just break that down for us?
So look,
what's going on there?
Look, I suppose I wanted to us to read this out because I think it's important. You know, we're speaking about reality and people's experiences, and this being a prime example of it. This person obviously was working as a carer, and it may have been, I'm only reading between the lines here because I don't know, it's very hard to comment as per usual, but we always try and give some kind of steer.
Sure, yeah.
But it seems to me this person was looking after their parent. They'd obviously applied for the carer's allowance and they'd been granted that, and it may have been that under review they were working extra hours than they should have been, because there is a limit as in the amount of hours that you can work per week. And when that was seen, basically they said, sorry, you shouldn't be in receipt of this carer's allowance. And basically that they obviously looked in retrospect and there's money owed. And it's a pile up here, because obviously the parent is still in need of care.
Yes.
This individual's after cutting back their hours. I would just say to them, look, this sounds harsh, but you know, the Department of Social Welfare will say the rules are the rules are the rules. And I would say to people, it is really, really important that you familiarise yourself with the rules. The rules before you go and apply for these, and the rules ongoing, because these rules are ongoing. So it seems to me upon review that this is where this individual ran into difficulty. But I would say, look, you need to speak to your county councillor, maybe John Fitzgerald or whoever, or your local TD, and you need to explain to them what happened here. People make mistakes as well, I would say. You know, the majority of people don't deliberately go out to not do things properly. So I think it's really important, based on what you're saying here, that you reach out to somebody and that you maybe speak to your even citizens' advice, that you go to somebody to find out, first of all, that you're probably very much aware of the rules now based on what's happened, but you need to speak to somebody to see if you can get some assistance, maybe in appealing this matter, is what I would say.
9,000 is a lot of money.
Absolutely.
The only negotiation there is how you pay that back, isn't it?
Yeah, so how you can pay it back. But the other thing is, I'm interpreting here that it's gone. The carer's allowance is gone for them. So, you know, for the sake of 2.5 hours or whatever it is, they need to have a look at that, and somebody needs to try and assist in this matter. And if it's not doable, at least then, well, it's not doable because of this, right? Because of this rule, that rule, whatever it be. Or it may well be that there is another way to approach this. And I think that's why they need to speak to somebody like Citizens Advice. And indeed, the department are probably helpful themselves, but maybe they need to go to somebody like the local TD or county councillor to assist them.
But during COVID, I came across a problem myself where it was a mistake from the department that allowed me to be paid more money, we'll say.
Mm.
And then they decided, whoops, we got that wrong, but you have to pay back. So there's no culpability in terms of them holding up and saying, look, we got that wrong. We won't be paying you any more, but that's it.
Yeah.
No, they want the money back.
Yeah.
Well, where else can you make a mistake and demand money back?
I know. Yeah. And again, that's why I'm saying it's harsh and it's unfair, but they'll say the rules are the rules. And sorry, you're right, Fran, in that. If that was maybe a bank, for example, we spoke about a bank last month who made a mistake, and they said, listen, we made a mistake. This is the situation. Yes. We're not going to charge you in retrospect.
Yes, we lay at the loss of that.
But we're charging you going forward.
Yeah.
Not always. Not the case with revenue, not the case with government departments.
And of course, and everybody's afraid to argue too much.
Yeah, and I think that's why this needs to be looked at.
All right, okay. Second question, it's a rather large question. What's the best place for a loan? This person saying, we're hearing Revolut might have low interest rates. I'm looking for, is it 30,000 that is? Is it 30,000?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would say it depends on what you want the loan for and how long. Okay, because they're really important. And it might be like, for example, if it was to do some improvements for, you know, to make your house greener, there are green loans out there that you can get that have very favourable rates. But I just had a quick look, excuse me, across the various. And whilst Revolut have some good loans, they're varying from 6.5% to 12.99%. APR. So don't be under any illusion that, they're the best out there. It depends. Like, the interest rate with Revolut, from what I can see, varies depending on your credit profile. back to the credit profiles, and the size of your loan and the term of your loan. Okay, so it may be that the smaller loans are more expensive because obviously they want to make more money on them. It seems to me on Pust are probably quite good.
Yes.
At the moment. So, and from my memory, is Avant who are behind the Unpust loans. But maybe have a look at that. But do you know what's a great link? The Consumer Protection website. Okay. The CCPC.ie. Okay. Great way to have a look at comparisons and to see what's out there, loans included.
Right, very good. Okay. And Revolut, what about Revolut?
They're a regulated bank. They're regulated by the Central Bank of Lithuania, but they're regulated by the Irish Central Bank to conduct, business to a certain extent here. Yes.
But are some of those interest rates very high? I'm just looking at your note there. Is that very high?
The 12.99%? Well, it's kind of up there. It's probably, again, look at what it says. Interest rates vary depending on your credit profile and the size of your loan and the term of your loan. So if they deem you higher risk, they're going to charge you more. Okay. Now, certain, again, I'm a big fan of the credit union and I think they're very good and they've helped people when other institutions wouldn't. But don't be under any illusion. Some of the credit union loans are very high as well. So, you know, just be aware, again, familiarise yourself. It's like the first question. Be aware of what's out there. Try and educate yourself to the best of your ability in those areas. And that ccpc.ie website is a great place to do it for things like loans or whatever, comparing.
Right, but don't assume anything,
no.
I guess.
No, all I mean, right. Again, Revolut are a regulated entity, so just beware. And, you know, people are especially looking at other banks and institutions at the moment when it comes to deposits. Just make sure that they're regulated. Make sure that you know the channel you're using to get to them. Make sure that you check the central bank website. Like I had one the other day where a client was saying, oh, I can get X rate with such a bank. And I thought, all right, who are such a bank? So I went to look and I actually went to the central bank regulation,
right.
the central the bank list to see is this institution, because it's easy to put up a web page.
Yes.
Right. You know, you can, this is what we're dealing with now. Things can look very above board legitimate, but actually they're a con, right? Sometimes. So I actually went to the central bank website and looked at their lists of regulated entities to see was this particular institution regulated by them. And they were.
Interesting. Let's move on to our other question then. Please ask the lady, that's Frances. I'm a stay-at-home parent reaching 66 in 4 years' time. My husband has worked here. Am I entitled to the state pension?
Again, hard one to answer. I mean, we've touched on this. Not enough information. So I would say please be aware, again, that the contributory state pension is not a given, right? Nor is the non-contributory. So as a start, you need to check what stamps you have already. And from there, you can go. Okay, so you can do that by contacting the Department of Social Welfare. Actually, you can do it through My Government ID now, very quickly.
Right.
Where you can go on, you can, if you're set up via My Government ID, you can request a copy of your contribution statement, okay, which will show what stamp you've got. So I suppose as a start, you need to check what stamps you have. Whether you get credit for the years your children, like I don't know. So this, from what this person is saying, they're 62, right? Because they're saying
yes,
they'd be 66 in 4 years' time.
Yes.
So I don't know what age their children are, right?
Yes.
And what age, more importantly, their children were in 1994, because that's when the rules changed to allow credit for children for a stay-at-home parent. Okay, so I actually had I asked this exact question to a client the other day, and they told me that their children were born in 1984, 1987 and 1989. Okay, so I know then that you were allowed 12 years max from 1994. So I know from my client whose child was born in 1984 that they'd only be allowed 2 years credit, because 1984 plus 12 brings up to 1996, and this rule came in 94.
Right.
So they'd only have 2 years credit. So I think they're the important things here. You know, don't worry about what proving what stamp on my children. They'll know that because they gave child benefit, I'm assuming. And if they did, they'll know what rule, what years to apply on the back of the child benefit that you were in receipt of. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Is there anything in the notion that you can buy stamps, though, if you're...
Yeah, and we touched on this before. You can buy stamps going forward, Fran, but in retrospect, it's a much tighter game. Like, I think people mix that up as well with the whole UK buyback in recent years. It's certainly not that open here.
Okay.
And in fact, I would say, again, a very, very tight criteria. It's something I can touch on again for people, but it's certainly not as open as it was in the UK. Very, very few. And it's a lot more expensive, potentially, if you're buying in the past. Okay, and a lot more restricted.
Huge question. Could you explain the state pension?
Okay, have we 3 hours actually per day for the next week? Sorry, I just, but you know, it is such a long subject.
It is, and it's such a minefield, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, so again, it's kind of back to that previous question. Assuming you're due the state pension soon, this is technically payable at 66 or now 70. Because you can have now have the option to defer your pension to the age of 70 since January. Okay, so your pension can be either contributory or non-contributory, depending on how you operated. And by the way, the non-contributory pension is means tested. So the only pension that is not contributory, sorry, that is not means tested in this for the state pension is the contributory pension.
Right.
Okay. But to get the contributory pension, you must have, there's a few different rules, right? And at the moment, they look at it in a few with two different sets of eyes, I'm going to say. So you must have a minimum of 520 contributions paid for you to be even considered. So that's 10 years, basically. So you must have a minimum of 520 paid contributions for you to be even considered for the state pension. If it's less than that, you won't get it. Then you're back under the non-contributory and means testing or whatever it be. And you must have started paying contributions at least 10 years before you reach the age of 66. Okay?
Oh, right. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing is that they look at an averaging then. They use an averaging rule and or total contributions. And you thought I was joking at the beginning, right? So, I mean, just to give you a rough steer, you need to have an average of about 48 contributions. So this is why, and I'm just to say to this listener, I'm not being flippant here or saying whatever. And it's an important question. They obviously want to know. It's just too big a topic to cover in, you know, and it's such an individual thing. So I would say, by the way, there's big changes coming down the line. Eventually, it's going to get to the point where it's no more averaging over years. It's going to be about the total contributions you paid in your lifetime, in your working lifetime, to get the state pension. And that's supposed to be coming in from 2025. So from 2034, anyone that's due to retire, every cloud is a silver lining. Anyone that's due to retire in 2034, it'll be all basically anyone who was born after the 1st of January 1968, it'll be all about your total contributions by the time you're getting your state pension.
My God.
So it's too big a topic.
There's much, and maybe it's for another day as well, but there's much talk about deferring the pension till you're 70 or even later, as to whether or not that's economically sensible.
Yeah. Because again, so I have clients that maybe it suits them because maybe they didn't have enough stamp for the full state pension.
Yes.
Okay. So it makes, and they're still working, so it makes sense for them to gather up another couple of years, and then eventually they might have the full state pension. And then for other people, I had a look at one the other day, and I think there was €6 a week difference between the stamps that they had and the stamps that they would have had they worked for another 3 years, I would say take it.
Yes, of course.
The question is, for somebody that's working already, okay, who's continuing to work, it might be that it flicks them into higher tax by having the state pension, because once you turn on the tap, you can't turn it off. But I would say bird in the hand, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, it depends on the individual.
But here we're back to the whole thing. Get advice.
Get advice. And it's, you know, everything. Yeah. It's so individual. It's not, yeah, nobody, you know, this is not a topic to be discussed in a, it used to be the pub. I don't even know if that happens anymore. You know, where people
coffee
are
shops.
Saying, coffee shops, okay. You know, where people are talking, yes, saying, well, I did this. That may have been what you did and what worked for you, doesn't mean that it's going to work for somebody else or applies to somebody else. Very individual. You need to seek your own advice in these matters.
Right, very interesting. I'd love to have spoken about cryptocurrency, because that's down on the list here, but no time this, yeah, time around, but maybe next time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll touch, yeah, on all of these again.
Again, loads of complexity around that. But,
absolutely.
We'll delve into it.
Absolutely.
If people want to talk to you, Frances,
yeah,
on your
no
team.
Problem. They can contact us at foh@foh.ie or ring the office 052-612-9487. And or call to our office in Clonmel, and that's no
all
problem,
right,
either.
Frances, always good to see you. Thanks.
Okay, thank
Thanks
you.
Very much indeed. We'll take a break, back in just a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.